So my topic this morning is, what are you holding on to in hard times? What are you holding on to in hard times? We sang excellent songs this morning about faith, about Jesus, the power of Jesus. But the question is, what do we hold on to when it gets tough? And this message was inspired by hearing people say something like this. I went through a difficult time and it didn't go well, so now I stopped praying. Or I'm disappointed at what happened. I trusted God, but it didn't happen, so now I don't know if I believe in God anymore. Or someone said something about me and I was really hurt, and now I don't know if I believe in God anymore. Statements like that, where we have an image of what God should have done. He hasn't done it, therefore I'm now discouraged, or I'm not praying anymore. What happens to you when hard things come? And they will come to every single person. So my question this morning to us is, what is faith? What is our faith grounded on? How does faith happen? It happens slowly, we know that. Romans 10:17 says it comes by hearing the word of God. So that's one way it happens, whether that's through preaching or through a friend or through a rhema word from God. They build our faith. They do. But how come we're so quick to throw it all out when something happens that we didn't expect? We sometimes hear people say that that he's a conspiracy theorist. That's a conspiracy. That's not true. Or we ask, someone told me this story, and they'll ask me, so who told it to you? And we give them the name, and they say, oh, yeah, I don't believe him. He believes in conspiracies, so I don't believe him. How do conspiracies happen? How do they come about? It's actually very simple. They happen by listening to someone that you believe. And you listen to them some more, you study yourself, and you listen to people that agree with that theory, and you begin to really believe what you heard. Whether true or not, you begin to believe it. That's exactly how faith happens. We hear people, we read the Word of God, and we say, well, this is true. And yeah, this is what God did for me. That makes sense. And then we hear people talk about it, we hear testimonies, and all of a sudden we become a believer in the Bible. And when we become a believer in the Bible, then we have a faith in the Bible. That's what faith is. And I think the reason why faith is shattered so easily and why we're searching for different things so much is because we're searching for the Garden of Eden experience. That's what we long for. We long for peace and joy and unity between us and God, and we are searching for it every day. We pray about it, we sing about it, and our life seems to take it away, but we are searching for it. So it's a constant battle for life. That is just the way life is. And you and I were created for the Garden of Eden experience. That's what you and I were created for. But when that was taken away from mankind through the sin of Adam, we are still searching for that experience. Our heart is made for it. Our heart is empty without it. So we're looking for it continually. So it's a continual battle between spirit and our mind. What does our spirit say? What does our mind say? It's a continual battle. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we see there's two parts to it. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, every believer has the Holy Spirit, but not every believer chooses to live by the Holy Spirit. It says if you have the Holy Spirit, then also walk in the Holy Spirit. That tells you of the battle that we have. We have the flesh, we have our own mind, and we constantly battle between these. And we choose one of the two. So what are you holding on in hard times? Are you hearing from God in hard times? Or how do you make decisions in hard times? which all of you have from time to time. What happens when you have a great disappointment in your life? Something that affects you for years. What happens? Do you go down? Do you say, I can't trust God after all? Or what do you hold on to? We all hold on to something. What do you hold on to? Or you've been greatly mistreated by someone. Does your faith then leave because God didn't step in and rescue you? Or someone blame you for something that you didn't do? What happens? Or maybe you could say, maybe your children aren't walking with the Lord and you prayed 100 times and 1,000 times and you can't see any change. What happens? What happens? We cannot base our life or faith on what we experience in life. We cannot do that. Then all of us would lose our faith from time to time. I would too. So our faith cannot be based on how our life is going. The health and wealth teaching does that. It's self-focused, and I should have this, I should have this. And if it doesn't happen, then my God has failed me. Who's the judge of whether your God failed you or not? So faith cannot be based on how our life is going. Just a few examples that I ran across the last few weeks. When I was in Mexico, I visited an older lady, and I hadn't planned to, but I happened to be in the area, and I knew her from years past. So I visited her in the seniors' home, and so I asked this attendee if I could visit her, and yeah, they said she's in that room, and but the door was closed. So I asked, can I walk in? Now, so I asked, could you walk in and ask if he's okay for me to see her? So she was laying in bed. She has bones that are, he said, they're as weak as a corn stalk. He said, I can't put any weight on my foot. It could break like that. And her bones have been broken by simply walking. So very weak bones. So she's an older lady laying in bed. She can't even get out of bed herself. She has a steel contraption to lift her up and put her into a chair. And the kids bought her a brand new, nice, soft chair. But she says, I can't sit in it because I can't get into it and I can't get out of it. I'm stuck there. I may as well be in bed. So she can either be in bed or in a wheelchair. But this lady was strong in faith. Not because of her life was going. She was totally convinced that God Jesus is coming back. She was totally convinced that one day I'm going to be in eternity and I'll receive a reward. She was totally convinced. And I looked at this lady, tears in her eyes. She's lost several kids through cancer. Shouldn't have happened, but it did. She's had many bad things happen in her family. But in spirit, she was very strong. Totally convinced. One day, I'm going home. And she said, I'd rather go home today than tomorrow. And when I'm going home, it'll be worth it. That is faith. She doesn't see it here right now. Another couple that I just accidentally ran across, went to their home, and they were probably in their early 50s. I'm not sure how old they are. And she had had a stroke about 20 plus years ago. Half of her body isn't functioning. And now, some years ago, he had a stroke too. He couldn't really walk. Sitting both in their chairs in their home, they weren't getting up when I was there. But the happiest people. The happiest people. They believe in something that they're not seeing. They're not seeing it. That's faith. When you can hold on to something that you're not seeing, but you're holding on to it for dear life. And I said, they encourage me. They encourage me. We didn't go into details. Do you believe everything I believe in exactly the way I believe? That was all irrelevant. They were holding on to their Jesus for dear life. Their faith was personal. It wasn't a mom and dad's faith. It wasn't my neighbor's faith or my husband's or my spouse's. It was their personal faith they held on. They prayed and lived life. How do you do life unwavering, without doubting, consistent? People can say, that man is consistent. That woman is consistent. Look at them. They go through hell and earth, so to say, and yet they're consistent. Some of us, we have highs and lows. You may have come home from a conference and you had a high. It was really fun. And now you're looking for the next conference because it was so much fun. Or you may have come back from a YOM, or you may have come back from a meeting friends and it was a high. It was so great. How do you maintain that? It's a faith in something that you don't see. That's how you maintain it. In something that you don't see. Psalm 28. Historians are not sure when this psalm exactly was written, but here it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. David didn't have a very good life. He had many very difficult days. He ran for his life from more than one person. He ran from Saul approximately 4 years after he was anointed as king. After he was anointed, he knew God had anointed him as king, yet he ran for his life. How do you justify that? A prophet came and anointed me. I'm a man of God. I'm set apart for to be a king, and I'm running. 4 years. Not a week, not a day. 4 years. And if you read the last part of Dave's life, he praises the Lord and tells him how solid he is, how he's helped him. When he was in the cave, he wrote some psalms. In the cave, hiding. If I'm strong in faith when I go to a conference and it goes down when I come back, that's rooted in what I experienced. And we all have some of that. But we need our own faith in this book. That I believe the promises of this book personally. I can't ride on someone else's faith. Do you have your own faith between you and God alone? Colossians 2:7 says, have your roots planted deep in Christ. Grow in him. Get your strength from him. Let him make you strong in the faith as you have been taught. Your life should be full of thanks to him. Get your strength from him. That's something that we learn in life. It doesn't happen necessarily when you're starting out in faith. But as we grow and mature in faith, we should come to a point where this book encourages us, where God encourages us. And we look to him when everything goes wrong, where my disappointments can't control me, where I go to God and say, God, where are you? This is how I feel. And I can hear him whisper to me. That's faith, where I wait on him. That's faith. Verse 8, be careful that no one changes your mind and faith by much learning and big sounding ideas. But things are what men dream. Those things are what men dream up. They're always trying to make new religions. These leave out Christ. I talked to a gentleman this week, and I asked him. He was talking about the deconstruction that was happening in the youth nowadays, and people who were strong in faith all of a sudden say they're atheists. And I asked him, so why do you think that is? He says, Christian colleges. I said, wow. He said, I would sooner send my kids to a non-Christian college than a Christian college because they're destructing your faith. And I think we have some people in the audience sitting right here Shane could tell us probably the same thing, right? Do you want to say just two words about that? Oh, we don't have a mic. But it would be nice to hear it from you because, yeah, hey, just come say a few words about that. Make sure you don't preach a long message.
So when I came back, I was like, well, I'll maybe just go to a Christian university and get my faith strengthened. So I went to CMU, which is Canadian Mennonite University. And immediately, they were kind of, everything was about pronouns and about trans stuff, about queer stuff or whatever. And it was kind of all under the blanket of Christianity. I went to a few classes that were Bible-related, but then I thought, like, oh, okay, it's a environmental Bible class. It's going to be about looking at the environment from a biblical perspective. No, it was looking at the Bible from an environmental perspective. So everything was warped. Later, I was talking to one of my pastors, and he goes, oh, you're going to CMU. That's what the pastors call the school where Christians go to leave their faith. So I ended up switching to going to a secular school, which is just as bad, but it's not under the Christian banner. So, yeah, I would definitely be careful with going to those schools.
See, there you go. That's one person, and I've heard of more. These organizations that are supposed to build our faith, they don't. It comes down to you and me building our faith. I can't base it on a school or anyone else. Ephesians 4:13 says, all of us are to be one in the faith, and in knowing the Son of God, we are to be full-grown Christians standing as high and complete as Christ is himself. Then we will not be children any longer. Children are like boats thrown up and down on big waves. These are blown with the wind. False teachers are like the wind. False teachers try everything possible to make people believe a lie. But we are to hold to the truth with love in our hearts. We are to grow up and be more like Christ. He is the leader of the church. This morning, I'd like to make a declaration or bring some people up front. When we read Hebrews 11, we refer to that as a hall of faith. We have many people listed there that are considered men of faith, or they've and all of those acts are, or we should say, they all have this name because of what they did or what they believed. Abel had a better sacrifice than Cain. He's in that list. Enoch, he had this name that he loved the Lord and served God. He's in that name. Moses, he repeatedly went to Pharaoh and told him what God had told him. He was faithful to God. Noah built an ark for years and years and years and years. After 100 years, he still went out every day building an ark. He had never seen a flood. And yet he built an ark every day. Can you imagine what the people said about him? Sarah, Abraham are in that list. Sarah believed that God would keep his promise. That's what it says. That's why she's in that list. Rahab hid several men and saved their lives. She was a prostitute. Her name is in that list. I think today we have people in this room that could qualify for the list. They are strong in faith. Even though they have not seen what they prayed for, they've been waiting for maybe years. So I'm going to call several people up that have been struggling with something for more than a year or two. I want us all to see that this is still happening today. It's not all going to hell. There are people who are standing strong. So I'd like to ask Paul and Margaret to come up. They've been dealing with cancer for a number of years. They've been traveling to Mexico and Winnipeg, of course, dozens of times. But they've been to Mexico multiple times. I don't think they'll need the mic necessarily, but. And they, They've been standing strong in faith. Why don't you line up down here, because we'll have some more, I think, eventually. Yeah. They're standing strong in faith. This is a couple that's strong in faith, even though their prayers have not been answered. Keep that in mind. Stand with Allah. Why don't you come and join them? Been struggling with cancer as well. They've seen great strides in what they've been doing. They're still going to be tested all the time, but they're standing strong in faith. And I'd like to invite anyone else up that's been struggling for something for over a year. It could be physical, it could be relational, it could be anything else, it could be something personal that you've never told anyone, but you're praying about this a lot, and you're fighting, and it's continually on your mind, and you don't talk about it much, but come up front. I want our young people to see that men can stand strong, women can stand strong. These are people who could be in Hebrews chapter 11. You don't see them complaining. You don't see them blaming God. You don't see them walking away from God. These are men and women who have prayed for something for so long. Some of them I know personally for many years. And I want all you young people to look at these and see, these are men of faith. You may be standing here as a teenager. You're a man or woman of faith. This doesn't come automatically. It really doesn't. They prayed about this over and over and over and over again. Believing, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure we will get what we are hoping for. It is being sure of what we cannot see. What we cannot see. They don't see it happening yet. That's what we call faith. Standing strong. Being an example of what that looks like. That's why it says, bear ye one another's burdens, because all these burdens that they're carrying, need to help them carry them. Maybe in prayer. Maybe walking up to them and just encouraging them. We are to bear one another's burdens. We cannot do it alone. This life, if you want to be honest, this life is kind of brutal. Many of you sitting in the benches don't live the life that you dreamed of either. We all have some of that. That's where faith comes in. We say, God, this is not what I expected. This is never what I wanted. This is not even what I thought this word told me. And yet, this is what it is. And you can blame them all and say, well, you should have more faith and it would change. You can do that. But tell yourself first. So I want to just spend a few minutes and just pray for these people. And I know there's some of you sitting in the audience that are battling with something similar. That's totally fine to stay sitting. Faith is a hard thing sometimes. Faith is believing when it doesn't seem believable. That's why these are up here. So that's all of you to stand. Let's stretch your hands over these. And we say, God, you know the needs of these individuals. You hear when they pray, but you've not done what they're asking for to the full extent. And yet they stand firm with you, Lord. They believe the word of God. They believe the promises. They stand on the promises. And I pray that you would bless them for it. I pray for courage for each individual person standing up here that is saying that, God, I need a breakthrough. God, I need a breakthrough. I need to see a breakthrough in my family, in my health, in my relationship, in my personal issue that I have. I pray, God, that you would bless them for their faith because they're blessing and encouraging all of us. They're a huge encouragement to all of us. And I pray that someday they will all hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord for eternity." Bless them, Lord. I pray that you would hear their cry. Incline your ear to their cry, Lord, and hear their cry. Jesus, they need you. They need you. They need to hear from you. I pray for revelations. Give them revelations on what you see, what you want them to hear, God, what you want them to feel and believe. Pray you be liberal with your revelations. Thank you, God, again for the faith of these men and women. It's absolutely amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.